You're listening to Love and War with David Harwood. This is a weekly podcast where David offers spiritual insights that are aimed to enhance your relationship with God, yourself, and others. If you are edified by what you hear, please recommend this podcast to people you love. Now, here's David.
Israel had three distinct ministries that pertained to the people's divine worship. And these were the king, the priests, and the prophets. When these three ministries were operating in unity with God and one another, victory and peace was assured. In every administration of every king, the nation faced adversity. We see the prophetic interpretation of Israel's history in what are commonly called the historical books, but these books aren't secular histories. They are the prophetic interpretations of the times through which these people lived. Now, in the midst of conflict, in the timing of God, the kings would take advantage of prophetic information and dispatch armies to either consolidate, defend, or expand the dominion of the theocratic state of Israel. As the people loved and relied upon God, when the people of God were relatively clean of the sins of idolatry, the oppression of the poor, the occult, gross sexual immorality, they were led from victory to victory. Now, the reason I said relatively clean is that there was never a time that the nation was completely clean of these sins. And it's the same thing within the framework of the church today. I want to mention that concerning Israel, it was not enough to have a functioning priesthood. The prophetic was necessary even in times of peace. It was not enough to have a functioning priesthood and an effective prophetic ministry. The kings had to be those who feared and relied upon God as well. And when the kings did not fear the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, then the priesthood became corrupt and the prophetic became ineffectual. When the kings were evil, the priesthood expedited idolatry and prophets were reduced to soothsaying and flattery. The king, the monarchy of Judah, was the key to everything functioning well. And the monarchy couldn't function with God's blessing apart from their maintaining the priesthood and hearing the prophets. The king provided governance to the people of God. The king was uniquely anointed and called, and in times of peace or in times of war, he provided stability and direction for the entire nation. The priests assisted the people, offering sacrifices, reconciling them to God, instructing them in the ways of the Lord. The more privileged priests had the opportunity to draw near to God, to minister to him, to intercede for the people, to behold his glory. And the prophets, they were uniquely called by God, hearing his voice, ministering to him in worship and prayer, releasing his word to both kings and the rest of the nation. So we had the king providing governance, the king providing stability and direction, the priests making sure that the people were reconciled to God, the Levites instructing the people in the ways of the Lord, the prophets called by God, hearing God's voice, ministering to the Lord, releasing his word to both the kings and the rest of the nation. Now we are also called to be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that our toil is not in vain in the Lord. That's from 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58. We're called to be a stable, blessed, peace-filled people who are laboring for the Lord. A lot of that is dependent upon the prayer life of the church. The distinct gifting necessary to carry forward a successful spiritual warfare and intercession, these giftings are similar to the three offices that God sanctioned in the history of Israel. To see victory, the victory we desire in spiritual conflict, to see the release of God's answers into and for the church, there must be a governmentally discerned prophetic voice that informs the direction of the prayer life of the church. There must be a priesthood who brings these requests before the Lord as they worship the Lord. And the leaders of the local congregations must be those who take a hand in the direction of those requests, and the government of those congregations need also to be those who are able to discern prophetic input from those who have been spoken to by the Lord. Now, according to God's mercy, these things are not beyond us. Discerning is important. One of the things we need to be able to discern is whether or not this church is subject to fads. A lot of times there are winds of prophetic emphases that come through the church. There are fads. Amos 8, verse 11 and 12 says, "Behold, days are coming, declares the Lord God, when I will send a famine on the land, not a famine for bread or a thirst for water, but rather for hearing the words of the Lord. People will stagger from sea to sea and from north even to the east. They will go to and fro to seek the word of the Lord, but they will not find it." People will chase that which is immediately popular rather than paying the price to seek God and to find him on their own. Therefore, I would like to say in the beginning of our discernment process, are we hearing the Lord ourselves, or are we seeking God's word from one source or another source or another source, but not actually seeking God himself? We are not to be those who are saying, "I can't hear God for myself, therefore I must go to this website, I must go to this conference, I must go hear this prophet, I must..." No. We are those who are called to hear the word of the Lord ourselves. And speaking of the word of the Lord, even before we begin to discern that which has been intuitively given, that which is spiritually being released, wouldn't we be wise to go to the scriptures? In Isaiah chapter 8, verse 20, the prophet said, "To the Torah, to the law, and to the testimony, if they do not speak according to this word, it is because they have no dawn." The beginning of the discernment process is to be so grounded in the scriptures that we're able to tell when something is off. Then there is the persistent problem of the copycat. In Jeremiah 23, verses 30 to 32, the prophet said, "Therefore, behold, I am against the prophets, declares the Lord, who steal my words from each other. Behold, I am against the prophets, declares the Lord, who use their tongues and declare, the Lord declares. Behold, I am against those who have prophesied false dreams, declares the Lord, and related them, and led my people astray by their falsehoods and reckless boasting. Yet I did not send them or command them, nor do they furnish this people the slightest benefit, declares the Lord." Let's not imagine that the temptation to be inspired by other people's words was only something that was in Jeremiah's day. People can tend to get inspired by a mighty, powerful, prophetic word that somebody else gives and prophesy off of that word. People can tend to be overly impressed by prophets who have well-known, recognizable names. And having received their word, it goes into their own hearts and they begin to prophesy out of that. This is nonsense. And in fact, it brings an indictment from the Lord. May I mention that the internet is often the enemy of intimacy. I'll repeat, the internet can be the enemy of intimacy. People go online, they go to their favorite prophet or ministry, they go through YouTube, they hear things, they end up finding inspiration without having sought the Lord themselves. Thus far in the discernment process, I have mentioned that it is possible to be led astray by fads, the necessity of going to the scriptures to be grounded in the word, and to take heed lest people are being inspired by others who perhaps have inspiration and perhaps have been inspired by somebody else's inspiration. And so we end up having somebody prophesy something and someone hears that and they prophesy off of what it is that they heard, and then somebody hears that and it just keeps getting diluted and diluted, and it's the same thing. And it sounds as if it's a confirming word of the Lord, but in fact, people are just stealing words from one another. Moving on, we need seasoned spiritual leaders. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 29, "Let two or three prophets speak, and let the others pass judgment." Wouldn't it be a wonderful thing if there was an environment wherein people could share, "I believe that the Lord is saying this," and others who are seasoned spiritual leaders would be able to say, "Let's take a look at this, let's take a look at this." And then, having heard that, having heard specific prayer direction to bring it to the pastors or elders or the leaders of their movements to see as to whether or not those leaders would then release it as mandated prayer to the rest of their congregations or movements. Let two or three prophets speak. Let the others pass judgment. God really is able to give specific direction when it comes to prayer. We are to learn together. We are to develop a track record with one another. We are to find a way of growing in relationship with God and one another. And that relationship with God and one another produces a sound environment for the Lord to be able to speak to and grant direction to the congregations of the Lord that under governance are able to receive what we would call the prophetic word of the Lord and release it to the entire congregation to pray, to intercede. This is something which is not beyond us. We are to learn together. There were such a thing as companies of sons of prophets. In 1 Samuel chapter 19, verse 20, it reads, "Then Saul sent messengers to take David, but when they saw the company of the prophets prophesying, with Samuel standing and presiding over them, the Spirit of God came upon the messengers of Saul, and they also prophesied." The story is that David is running away from Saul. David is with this company of people. Saul is sending messengers to capture David. The anointing was so strong that when these people who meant David harm came to take him away, well, the power of God came upon them, and they started prophesying along with the sons of the prophets. And note that Samuel was standing and presiding over them. Only God knows what they were prophesying. For all we know, they could have been prophesying about David's coming rule in Judah and, in fact, all Israel. These people were called the sons of the prophets. Evidently, they were prophets in training. To some degree, we are to have this type of training available within the framework of our congregations. This is part of the life of the body. People are learning. People are growing. People are learning in relationship to one another under the leadership of a seasoned minister, in this case, Samuel. Presence of God being with those people, they will grow. And finally, the process ends up culminating in their lives, these sons of the prophets, when they are set in and recognized within the local congregation or sent out. One of the things that people need to do as they are discerning the word of the Lord as it comes to them is to find out how God speaks to different people and to develop a loving environment wherein people can ask questions. I have provided for the people I work with pictures of like a Geiger counter or the Richter scale to help to discern what is actually going on with them. Sometimes people are delivering what they consider to be the word of the Lord in a very authoritative fashion, and yet what they are reporting on is that they've received a slight impression, and yet they're delivering it as if they are the prophet Isaiah. Thus saith the Lord. Not all spiritual input comes with the same force. Sometimes people receive slight impressions. Sometimes people receive powerful encounters. When somebody is offering to a congregation or a movement, saying, "This is what God is saying," a question that might be asked is, "How did you receive this information? Was it a slight impression? Was it a powerful encounter?" People need to be able to discern along the lines of that. A Geiger counter begins to pick up background radiation, and the closer that it gets to a source of radiation, it begins to click and make sounds. It begins to say unmistakably, "There is some radiation coming out of this particular source." When it comes to the word picture of a Richter scale, we recognize that there are hundreds of small earthquakes that aren't hardly picked up on the Richter scale that can be going on right underneath you right now and you would never feel. And then there are earthquakes that can shake the earth, change the course of the economic life of a nation, even shift the balance of the planet. There are powerful encounters. There are slight encounters. When people are seeking to give spiritual input into the life of an individual, a family, a church, a ministry, a movement, it is only right to ask them, how powerfully did you experience this? On the Richter scale of your life, in your history, was this a 1 on the Richter scale? Was this a 7.4 on the Richter scale? How seriously do you take this word? If you had received it for yourself, would you be willing to live according to that word? Finding out how God speaks to different people, developing a loving environment wherein people can ask questions, this is important. And within the framework of the believing communities, we are to have friendship and relationships with one another. We are to have loving relationships. Should someone come and offer to you or to a congregation a directional word or even a word of encouragement, ask yourself this question. Do you know them? Do you have a relationship with them? If they're not from your own congregation, if you don't know them, it's not unreasonable to ask them, hey, what is your relationship like with your family? What is your relationship like with your church? If you don't know those who are bringing prophetic type of input into your life, well, honor the people that you do know first. Within the believing community, we need to have accountability within the framework of loving relationships. We need to be able to look back and see the track record of the people who are bringing things to us. We're not to hold people captive to their pasts, and neither are we to give people immediate credibility according to their pasts. But knowing their past is important. Since we are focusing specifically upon the prayer life of the congregation, I'm going to be stressing the application of this discernment process to that environment. In the first place, we should have governance within the framework of local congregations or movements that are discerning people. We should have people who are raised up in the intuitive aspects of walking with God, who are able to discern spiritual input. One thing that they are to look at is the person bringing this to me subject to a fad? Is the word that they're bringing really grounded in the scriptures? Is this something which they have heard from someplace else? Are they willing to allow seasoned spiritual leaders to discern their words? Are they in the process of being in relationship with others? Are they learning? Are they growing? Are they in relationship with other people who have a similar type of gift, who are in a cooperative relationship with those who are leading their movement? Are we able to ask them to discern, on the Richter scale of your life, how powerfully did this revelation come to you? Not least of all, something which is very important, is the person's family life together? Are they in a good relationship with other brothers and sisters? If these things are present, then we are in the process of laying the foundation for a victorious corporate prayer life, both in spiritual warfare and in the life of petition of the church.
Love and War is written and presented by David Harwood. Editing is by David and Sam Iovino, who is also the producer and technical advisor for the podcast. David is the pastor of Restoration Fellowship in Glen Cove, New York, and the author of the books God's True Love and For the Sake of the Fathers. To purchase copies of David's books, please go to loveofgodproject.org. The theme song for this podcast is Skirmish, from the album Combustion, which was written and performed by Leonard Jones. Additional episodes of Love and War can be downloaded on the Podbean app or through iTunes. For more information on Love and War, Restoration Fellowship, God's True Love, or For the Sake of the Fathers, visit us on restorationfellowshipny.com, loveofgodproject.org, book.forthesakeofthefathers.com, or you can follow us on Facebook at Restoration Fellowship NY, Love of God Project, Love and War DH, and for the sake of the fathers. If you have any questions or comments, feel free to email David at loveandwar_dh@yahoo.com. As always, please remember to share Love and War and support us by leaving a positive review on iTunes and Podbean.